Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful and snowy day as we welcome winter finally in the second week of January. Thank you all for joining us today. A beautiful day to worship as we celebrate the season of Epiphany and all the beautiful things God has done. Angie's working overtime today. I figured since we were fewer in numbers, I could take advantage of that today. So, first of all, let us give thanks with a few announcements. Please don't forget, Lunch Bunch today will be at Buehler's. So if you want to take advantage of that, please join them at Buehler's. Elders will be meeting on tomorrow at 7. Please make note of that. We're meeting on the second Monday to rearrange some of my medical appointments, so I appreciate your flexibility with that. And I look forward to our time together. Please don't forget, Books for the Soul is meeting this month as well on Tuesday at Buehler's from 7 to 8. We're going to discuss Kay Ward's book, Park Benches. There's questions about what pages we're covering. We're just going to look extensively at the book this time because a lot of people weren't able to make December because of how busy things were getting close to Christmas. So if you have a chance to pick up that book at any page or any different section, we'll be happy to discuss. But 7 to 8 at Buehler's. And we also have some scheduling changes. Cares and Prayers will be meeting this Wednesday from 1:30 to 3. We weren't able to meet last Tuesday. Spiritual Companioning is moving from the first Tuesday in 2019 to the fourth Wednesday, and that's also to accommodate more people. And so that will put our next meeting on Wednesday, January 23rd. If you're interested in attending any of that, please let me know. We're excited to bring any new people in, and really is a great opportunity of fellowship and spiritual reflection time. Our CEC game night will be Friday, January 18th from 6 to 9. So bring some food, bring some kids, and it should be a great time. In fact, we're willing to open the hill by our house if the snow stays and the kids want to do some sledding. They're welcome to do that. Kayla's happy to join them on the hill. And ooh, I see somebody's ready to rock and roll. All right. Even today, you want to go this afternoon, you're welcome to. The men's breakfast will be here on Saturday, January 19th, from 9 to 11. Jackie's going to share with you in a few minutes some further details about that. Church council will be next Sunday following worship, so please bring a covered dish to share and a great opportunity to reflect on the many blessings that God has given this church in 2018, and we look forward to planning in 2019. And also don't forget the 20th is the Moravian Annual Bowling Bash, which will be at Wabash Lanes from 6 to 9 on Sunday, January 20th. Saturday, February 2nd, Dover First will be hosting a workshop, Growing Younger, from 9:30 to 12:30, led by Reverend Cynthia Geyer. It's a free lunch. It's a free event. So if you get the chance to go, please take advantage. And also Sunday, February 3rd, we will be having our Super Bowl Chili Cook-Off to raise money for our new door in Fellowship Hall. Doug has come up with a system for how we're going to grade these chilies, so we'll be looking to grade our first annual Chili Champ. And we haven't decided what the prize is going to be, but you can be sure that it's going to be pretty sweet. It will be immediately following worship, and donations will be free will offerings, so bring a chili and come ready for some just a nice, easy event for fellowship to raise a little money for our door and the opportunity to celebrate Super Bowl Sunday. Pound Auction is also going to be on Saturday, February 9th. That's going to raise money for our camp scholarship fund. That's an important event to support because we're hoping to send, once again, a record number of kids to camp. And also we have kids who are doing things like convo and things like that. So the more money that we can replenish into that system, the more kids we can encourage to do those opportunities. And it's always great when we can support our kids. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, Jackie, you want to share about the men's breakfast?
Yeah, next Friday, starting at 4, we'll be putting casserole together for the men's breakfast, so if you are able to help, please let me know. And then Saturday morning is a
Oh, great. That's wonderful. And there are a lot of people that do attend that event, so any help that is available is appreciated. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Paige.
Morning, Mr. Stewart.
join together in our watch group of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, the first verse. God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine." You may be seated.
Please stand for the call to worship. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, "Lift Every Voice and Sing." We're going to sing verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
remain standing and turn to page 68 in the Moravian Book of Worship. Through you I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind.
And set free those who sit in dark prisons.
God shows no partiality to race or culture. All who have reverence for Him and do what is right are acceptable to God.
Let us give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son.
How great is the grace of God, which He gave to us in such large measure.
This is the good news. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, all people may participate in God's blessings.
We are members of the same body and share in the promise that God made through Christ Jesus.
There is no longer rich or poor, black or white, male or female, for we are all one in union with Christ Jesus.
We belong to Christ, and we are all members of the Christ family, and we will receive what God has promised.
Seated. Let us offer intercessions and petitions for the needs of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, as disciple, called us to your service. We pray for the salvation of all. Lead us to bear witness to friends and neighbors in this community. Fill our words and manner of life with the convincing power of your Spirit. Intensify our love for all people, that our discipleship may be confirmed as genuine. Through our obedience to your call, bestow on many faith to be saved.
Give every gift and blessing to your witnesses in all ways.
May those who suffer because they have named you as Lord be strengthened to endure every temptation. Give courage, insight, and loving patience to those who have left their own people to proclaim the gospel to those yet unreached. Savior, grant that your church may always grow in grace and in earnest. For country multitudes from every people have confessed that you are Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please stand. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language, and they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, holding palm branches in their hands. They called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne, and from the Lamb."
Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might. Belongs to our God forever and ever. Amen.
You may please. As we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering today, you heard in our liturgy as we prayed it together, there is a God that brings each one of us together. No matter our social location, no matter our gender, no matter our race, no matter our age, it is the same God that works within us. So let us take this time to give back to the wonderful God who loves each one of us equally and unconditionally. Play dry. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus,
we realize there are times in our lives when we will walk through fire or tread in deep waters. Help us to see your presence in the midst of the struggle, for you taught us to give wholeheartedly, even in the midst of struggles.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we reflect on the blessings and the challenges that God has bestowed upon us and our communities. Let us pray, first of all, for Sinette Fleming, who is a pastor at Schenick Moravian, Emily's home congregation. She had surgery this past week in Philadelphia and is home resting and recovering. Has a little bit of a road to rehab, but she's doing well, and we give thanks for her great surgery. Also for our friend Amy Barron, who is the wife and a good friend of our family, of Greg Barron, who is one of my groomsmen in our wedding, and he's serving in Minnesota currently. And she's been she's about 4 or 5 months pregnant. She's been undergoing a difficult pregnancy. Amy has POTS syndrome, so a lot of the issues that she's dealing with have been flared up because of this. And so she's had a very challenging pregnancy that's required a lot of bed rest and things like that. So we ask that you continue to keep her in prayer. A lot of friends of people, Amy has some specific friends, James, Christian, Lucas Spouts, who all have the flu. We know people in our community who are beginning to deal with the flu bug and all the other bugs that are going around. Not only pray for the people that are sick, but also for our responders, for our people who are working our urgent care facilities, our hospitals, and our emergency rooms. This can always be a stressful time, but it helps to remind of God's presence in those difficult moments. Some other prayer concerns. We give thanks for a successful Haiti mission trip for our Tarhalo campers that went down there. I saw the pictures from Matt Spees. Looks like he had a good time. Surprised, almost looked like he was going to bring a baby back with him, but I think no baby in his luggage yet? Okay. all our kids had a great time down there, and I just continue to be impressed by their willingness to serve. And our youth really do have a passion for mission, and I hope that passion continues to be ignited and supported by all of our churches. And especially give thanks to Lauren Stewart from Yerkesville, who continues to lead all these mission trips and really has a calling in doing that. We continue to uphold Vicki Eichel in prayer. She's been dealing with some congestive heart failure, and her kidneys have not been working so good. So she's been dealing with a lot of changes in her life, and we continue to hold her in prayer and really uplift her with strength. We continue to pray for Amelia Hirschberger, the 3-year-old who had a severe head injury and is at Akron's Children. Continue to pray for her strength and recovery and for her family. We pray for our government shutdown, which is currently at 22 days, the longest in American history. We pray for all those workers that have been laid off. I think it's something like 800,000 people, that our communities respond to help these people out and look for opportunities to really uplift them and be compassionate to them. And we also pray for all those who were in weather-related accidents or faced weather-related difficulties throughout the Midwest yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty significant snowfall in different places. Not so bad here, but there were 4 or 5 casualties throughout the country. So we think of all those families and all those loved ones. This is especially a difficult time of the year for that. And then Emily and I want to give thanks this week on Tuesday, we got to celebrate the blessing of my second cochlear implant, which went well. We're excited to see the progress that comes with it. I don't have it on now. I got my microphone on. So if you scream in my left ear right now, you're not going to hear much of a difference. But I'm very excited and look forward to to how that progress will go, and give thanks for the medical miracles that God offers each one of us. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you humbly, the flock that listens to you on the Sermon on the Mount, looking for small acts of kindness, mercy, discipleship, and faith to show you that we love you with every fiber of our being. And gracious God, we don't say it enough, but we love you. We love what you've done for us. We love what you continue to do for us. And we ask that you continue to sustain us with that faith, love, hope, and mercy that you provide each and every one of us. As we think of those in our world, we think of those who are hurting, for Sinette Fleming, Amy Barron, for those dealing with the flu, for Vicki Eichel and Amelia Hirschberger, for those impacted by the government shutdowns and those dealing with weather-related incidents yesterday. We realize, God, that you know our prayers before we even give them words. But we ask specifically that you look over these people and remind them that they are never alone, for they are loved by you, God, and each one of us may feel that presence in your arms. And we think especially today, as we celebrate this new season, as winter has finally come upon us, we look at the fresh snow and realize that you are a God that blots away all of our transgression. You take it away in an instant, and we realize that we are blessed to live in that world because we can live clean, happy, and wonderful lives. And we realize that the love that you give us is so special. And when we think of all that we have done and what we have not done, may we remember that we are not judged according with your judgment, but we are judged by your grace, and that uplifts us and sustains us, even when we make the wrong turn or the wrong path, because we realize no matter how far we stray, your hand will lead us exactly where we need to be. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1 through 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing the words of Isaiah. Our gospel today comes from the third chapter of Luke, verses 15 to 17, and 21 to 22, as we hear the story of the baptism of Jesus. As the people were filled with expectation and questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn in the unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come up for our children's chant. It's like you two are getting some special attention today, huh? You know, I got time to sneak in a wedding today if you want. No? That's all right. I see my wife rolling my eyes at me now. So what we're going to talk about today is one of my favorite stories. It's the baptism of Jesus. Have either of you ever seen a baptism before? What do you remember about baptism? Paige? You know what that is? That's called a font, a baptismal font. So that's what we put the water in for a baptism. Nick, do you remember anything special about baptism? Do you remember seeing anybody baptized? Who's that? Kira. You remember seeing Kira get baptized? Yeah, that wasn't too long ago. Paige? Madison was baptized too on her confirmation day. So that leads me into my first question. Who do you think can be baptized? Nick? Anyone? How old do they have to be? Is there no limit? Yep, so you could be a baby. I bet if we looked in our baptismal records, both of you were probably pretty young when you were baptized. But you could be as Kira or Madison's age. You could be 13 or 14. You could be an adult. I know a 90-year-old person who is baptized. So it can happen at any age. So what is baptism? Do you guys know what it is? It's something called a sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of God's love for us, and we celebrate two sacraments in the Moravian Church. One is baptism, and the other is one that we did last week. Does anybody remember what we did last week? Nick? The one where we get the bread and the juice? Paige? Communion. We celebrate it with Holy Communion. So that remembers God's visible sign for the sacrifice he made for us, and baptism is where we celebrate the visible sign of God's covenant with us. Do you know what covenant means? It's a really fancy biblical word. What happens if you make a covenant with somebody? Kind of like making a deal. So if mom says, hey, you want to play outside today and you have to do certain hours of chores, that's kind of what a covenant is. But in God, we don't have to do anything. God just loves us and he welcomes us, and all we have to do is welcome God into our hearts. So here's a question. Where can you be baptized? Nick? In the church, that's one spot. Is there any other places you can think of? Paige? In a creek. Your Aunt Audrey was baptized in a creek, and some people can be baptized anywhere. I actually know somebody who was baptized in a water park once, and that was pretty cool. But it does not matter where you're baptized, but you can be baptized anywhere. How can somebody be baptized? Nick? With water? Paige? You can dunk them in the water. So I could sprinkle a little bit of water, or I could take you and I could actually dunk you in the water and then bring you out, and you come out all full of the Holy Spirit and the breath of life. So do you think it matters how much water somebody gets, if it's just a sprinkle or a submergent? Mm-mm. So there's a lot of freedom that comes with baptism. And the reason we have that freedom is because it's all about getting to this question: why? Why do you think somebody gets baptized? Paige? Because of the Holy Spirit, that's a good one. Nick, you have any guesses? Why would somebody get baptized? They get baptized because they love God. And God offers a covenant by loving us, but how we do it on our end is by showing God that we're willing to be in relationship with him too. And baptism is how we do that covenant. So when you guys get confirmed in a few years, you're actually going to be renewing your baptismal vows. And you'll be reminding people that you chose to be a child of God, that you wanted this, and that you want to follow the path of Jesus. So it's about taking something that's unconditional and reminding people that, hey, I want Jesus in my life, and I'm going to make it a priority in my life. It's not just going to be something that's way at the bottom, but it's going to be a very important part of my life. And so that's why we baptize people, to remind people of that visible sign that God loves us. Because there's so much of God that we can't see, but baptism and communion allow us to see it. So let's take a moment to pray, and then you guys can munch on your snacks. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we give you thanks for Nick and Paige, for all the joy, laughter, and life they bring to our church. They both do so much for us. Help them to remember that even today, they are good disciples. And help them on the path that they may someday confirm their faith and renew the baptismal covenant. And remind each and every one of us that you love us every single day. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. All right, go for it. You may remain seated as we join together in our next song. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire within us and remind us that we are loved by you, O Creator, and that you call us to love you and to care for each one of the people and places and every opportunity we have in this world. In your gracious, loving name we pray. Amen. So Isaiah 43, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated passages of Scripture. The 23rd Psalm is probably the most popular passage that we have in the Old Testament. And I think Christians, we often turn to the 23rd Psalm when we need comfort or when we're going through a difficult time or we're just kind of feeling alone and lost and distressed. Yet this passage that we have from Isaiah, which Steve read for us, is just as poetic and easy to understand. Isaiah 43:2 said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." See, when you listen to this passage testifies to the fact that God is not some bearded guy sitting on a puffy cloud watching us way, way, way from afar. But God is far more empathetic, understanding, and personal than we realize. God cares for us. God loves us. See, this passage from Isaiah was on my heart and mind as I sat in a waiting room at Cleveland Clinic, minutes away from having my second cochlear implant turned on. Now, since this was my second time going through the process, I fooled myself into thinking I was a grizzled vet when it came to the events that were about to take place. I even warned Emily not to expect a huge reaction out of me, not a ton of emotion, because I think anybody who's had a cochlear implant turned on, you have expectations from watching all the YouTube videos of kids and people who are born deaf have that experience and the crocodile tears coming down their eyes. And I kind of warned Emily that probably wouldn't be the same experience for me. Because in hindsight, I was like the Egyptians in the desert, reminding God they had already seen the miraculous manna fall out of the sky once. So don't expect our jaws to drop the next time that we see it. But I was surprised. I was surprised by how when that moment finally came and my implant was turned on, there were none of the crocodile tears or jumping for joy, but pure childlike delight could be seen on my face. It was the second modern miracle I had received, and it was wonderful. It was not a miracle in the sense that God flicked his wrist and I was cured of all my afflictions. It was a far more personal miracle. See, God worked through the people that created the wonderful device, the surgeon who skillfully performed the surgery, and the audiologist who worked extensively programming the device and getting to know the exact needs that I had. See, I could see God's DNA over the entire process, not just one moment. And this is why God calls us by name and takes the time to get to know all of our needs. Because a miracle to me is a place in our hearts where human awe meets God's wonder, forming the amazing gift of joy. Where human awe meets the wonder of God, and it forms joy. Yet Isaiah's message for us today has little to do about joy, about the happy moments, the wonderful moments in life. Isaiah writes about God's presence in the midst of our struggles. So brothers and sisters, what are you struggling with on your own faith walk? What is making you lose sleep at night? What is making you feel like sometimes your head is barely above the rising water? See, for me, going through this process this week brought about a lot of self-reflection and looking back on my life. And I think about the fact that for me, my hearing loss is one of the greatest struggles on my own personal journey. See, my first implant at 22 was amazing and life-changing. But truth be told, there was some disappointment attached to it. Because I thought a new cochlear implant would mean a new me. I thought I was going to say goodbye to all my inadequacies, my vulnerabilities, and flaws. And I had demonized my hearing loss as being the root of all my problems. Yet after my first implant, a successful first implant, it turns out I was still the same person after all. And all a cochlear implant could do was improve my hearing. I needed to dig deeper if I was going to work on any of those other issues. I needed to turn those issues over to someone greater than myself. And the funny thing is, going through that process, God was showing me that I didn't need a self-improvement plan. I didn't need to figure out how to cure my vulnerabilities, how to fix my inadequacies, but more like a self-acceptance plan. I needed to learn to see those and love them, because I needed to love me with all my flaws, because that is exactly how God loves each one of us every single day. Imperfectly and flawed, but loved unconditionally. And what I love about this passage from Isaiah in chapter 43 is that all it offers is God's presence in the midst of our struggles. Isaiah does not tell us that if we pray to God about all our problems, God will wave his magic wand and make them go away. If you make 3 easy payments of $19.99 to Joel Osteen, all your prayers will go away, people. No, that's not what Isaiah offers in his version of how God works in his life. Listen to those words from verse 2 again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you shall be burned, the fire shall not consume you. See, this is not God telling us he will never give us any more than we can handle. What God is telling us is that he will be next to us no matter how hard the struggle is or how heavy the burden may be. So that is God saying, I will be with you no matter what you can handle. Because if it overwhelms you, I will be right by your side. It's personal. Finally, the last part of this message is God praising his people. And this is an important part because there's so much of the Old Testament that focuses on God's anger and wrath. But Isaiah paints a portrait of a much more compassionate God. Isaiah 43:4 said, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Think about that. Remember that concept that God would give up nations just for you, just for your well-being. Not a fair trade, but something that God's willing to do. Because this is a foreshadow of God's willingness to offer the life of Christ in exchange for each of our salvations. And this is a reminder of how deep, how rooted God's love is for each one of us. So when it comes to the loved ones in your life, I encourage you to put them to the Isaiah litmus test. How do you show them that they are precious in your sight? How? How do you honor them and care for them? Lastly, how often do you tell them you love them? Do you recite it only as a response, or are you willing to surprise someone in your life with an unexpected I love you? Maybe somebody who wouldn't expect it from you. Maybe somebody who doesn't realize that you have that much compassion and care for them. And then finally, how do you show these things to God? For Isaiah reminds us that God's relationship with us is personal. For God knows each one of our names, each one of our cares, and each one of our struggles. And the personal relationship with God, though, goes both ways. Do you personally take time to praise and honor God? Do you only have the humility to get on your knees and pray when you are hurting? Or are you willing to give God some credit for the blessings and the wonderful things that happen in your life? And how often do you give thanks for the life that you have been given, for the breath that you have been given each and every single day? And the important thing is to talk to God, to tell God that you love God, that you care for God, because it doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day, or if it's the best day of your life, or in the worst day of your life. But in every single moment, in every single opportunity, God will be with you. God will be by your side. And I promise you that in this life and the next, you will never have to walk alone. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, so many of us have been challenged by heavy waters and fires in our own lives. And we thank you for the opportunity of adversity, for you strengthen us and empower us. But please remind us that when it feels like the water is overcoming us or the fire is too close, that we have a wonderful God who's standing next to us, who's willing to help us and guide us. So we pray for trust today. Trust when we can't see the answer and solution, that we can put that trust in your hands, and you will take us exactly where we need to be, for we will never walk this world alone. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand when we join together to sing "When Peace Like a River." May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.